1 John chapter 5, our text is found this morning in verses 16 and 17. We'll be referring back to verses 14 and 15, so let's read 14 through 17. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Father, thank Thee this morning for Thy word Thou hast given to instruct us in the way in which we ought to walk. We recognize, Father, that the world round about us would impress upon us its ways of thinking. And the ways of the world are not the ways of God. We pray that this morning You would impress upon us Your ways, that we might do the things that are pleasing in Your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. In our study in verses 14 and 15, we talked about freedom in prayer, and you remember the word there to ask was in the middle voice, meaning to ask for ourselves. And so we saw that God has given us grounds for great freedom in prayer for our own needs. But then the question comes, what about praying for others? What about the needs of others? And so in verses 16 and 17, John gives us also great encouragement in praying for others, praying for our brethren. But also at the same time, he gives us one very serious caution in this praying. So we'd like to look this morning at these two verses. And first of all, we want to notice the problem involved. John begins in verse 16. If any man see his brother sin. And so the first thing we note then is the problem. The problem, we see him sin. If any man see his brother sin. Now, the word if here, remember in the Greek there are four classifications. This if is the if of probability. It would be a third class condition. And it means that there is a likelihood that this will happen. If any man see his brother sin. And the likelihood here is based upon the fact that, as James tells us in chapter 3 and verse 2, that in many things we offend all. And we have to confess that we are constantly offending others. We are constantly offending God. We are constantly sinning. And so John puts here as a probability that we are going to from time to time see a brother sin. Now the word here to see, a word that we also have studied recently, you remember the word horao means to see with discernment or understanding. This is not just a glimpse, a glance, but this is the seeing of discernment, the seeing of understanding. And actually, it is translated here, if any man see his brother, actually it is the aorist or past tense, and it means saw. The idea is that the seeing was already accomplished. You saw him. You saw the act, you saw it with discernment and understanding, and so now you are evaluating what you saw. John also reminds us, if any man see his brother, and so using the term their brother, he reminds us that he is talking about a Christian. And so we don't want to push this verse off into the category of an unsaved person, an unregenerate person. He's talking here about Christians, and this is important, as we'll see later on in the text. If any man see his brother sin, and the word sin is the word meaning to miss the mark. And so you see this brother miss the mark. And actually, you'll notice in the text here that it's a compound word. If any man see his brother sin, a sin. Now, a literal translation would be sinning a sin, because it's a participle. And so we have here a very descriptive term. If any man see his brother sinning a sin. A descriptive term implying that you are clearly aware, you have a clear picture in your mind of the details of what's going on. And so you saw him sinning a sin, and the whole picture is right there before your mind. You saw it clearly, and you know exactly what happened. And so then the problem is, what should we do? That's the first question that comes to your mind. You saw this, oh, what do I do? And that's John's purpose here in these verses, is to tell us what to do. If any man see his brother sinning a sin, then this is how he should respond. This is what he is supposed to do. And our response then, we could say, first of all, our response, as we have already seen in the word to see, the meaning of the word there to see, the first aspect of our response is to discern, because the word to see here means to see with discernment. And so we discern what it is that we saw. We evaluate. And the natural inclination, of course, of our own hearts, the first thing our own hearts would tell us to do is to judge. Oh, look what he did. I never do anything that bad. And the reason we judge him is because that then puts us up on a higher plane. And we gain a little stature by having him further down. And so as we discern, we need to be aware of judging or condemning, which is our natural tendency. Matthew 7:1, we are warned, judge not, that ye be not judged. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, we are told there that that as we seek to restore a brother, we need to consider ourselves. Paul says, consider yourself. Well, why do I need to consider myself? I don't need to consider myself from the standpoint that I might fall into the same sin that he is committing. I need to consider myself from the standpoint that I might fall into the sin of judgmentalism, of judging him and condemning him for what he is doing. And so that's the danger. And so I need to beware then. I need to consider myself. As I evaluate what he did, that I do not consider myself to be better, that I do not use his fall to make me seem to be more righteous. And we remember that James says that we, in many things, we all offend. And so I need to, first of all, humble myself and to get grace from God, remembering that I also am a sinner, only a sinner, saved by grace, is the song that we sing, and it's so true. Only a sinner, saved by grace. And even after we're saved, born again by God's Spirit into His family, only a sinner, saved by grace. And so I need to be very careful that I am, at that time, very much aware of my own needs before God, that I might not judge Him. I think this is one of the reasons I appreciate so much the faithful prayers of you as a people for me as pastor. I enjoy Wednesday nights hearing you pray for me, because I feel such a tremendous need. And I feel it's a very appropriate prayer. As we are studying Scripture, we constantly are coming across these truths of Scripture. And I confess many of these things are brand new to me. I've never gone deeply into some of these portions of Scripture and just never seen some of these things before. And I'm learning them, trying to learn them, right along with you. And so any time that you happen to feel like praying, Lord, pray for Pastor that he might practice what he preaches. That's very appropriate. And I appreciate that. And we need to recognize constantly our own needs, our own deep needs before God. Because we are going to, as John says, we are going to, from time to time, see brethren sin. And to keep from judging them, we have to keep before us our own, the wickedness of our own hearts, the needs of our own hearts, or else we will fall into judgmentalism. And so our first response is we have to discern and not judge. What is it that we need to discern? What we need to discern is the sin unto death? If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death. Now this one phrase, unto death, is used four times in these two verses. Did you notice that? We get here the idea of the emphasis that John places upon this. Four times in verses 16 and 17, John mentions this phrase, sin unto death. And we need to evaluate then, is this a sin unto death? Well, what does it mean, unto death, sin unto death? Well, first of all, the word unto, pros, means face to face. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's the goal or that is exactly what will always happen. It means that he is face to face with death. And to use a common term that we have today, he is looking death in the face. He hasn't died. He might not die. But he is looking death in the face. Another thing about this is that there is no article. A literal translation would be, there is sin unto death. Our translation says, there is a sin unto death. But actually, there's no article. And so, in the Greek, you remember we've studied before, that when there is an article, the article stresses identity. That means it would be referring to a certain sin. But when there is no article, it is stressing quality. And that means a certain kind of sin. And so that means that John here is not referring to one specific sin. And so we don't want to get the idea that there is one particular sin and that is a sin unto death. That's not true. John is referring here to a kind of sin, and there are many sins of this kind, of this quality that puts a man face to face with death. Now we have scriptural examples. For example, in Deuteronomy 22, verse 22, we are given there a sin unto death. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 22, if a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. And the Israelites were commanded to put them to death. They must die because they committed a sin unto death. We have also other instances in Scripture. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 22. Numbers 18 and verse 22. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. And so the warning there is that only the Levites were to come near to the tabernacle. Only the Levites were to carry the implements of the tabernacle. Any other Israelite that came near, he was to die because he would sin in so doing. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 28. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Here we have in Numbers 15:28, sin of ignorance. And we are told that there is an offering for that. And the Israelite could come, he could make an offering, he would be forgiven, even though he had sinned. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of all sin, any sin, God has the right to inflict death upon. But here we find that the sins of ignorance, there is an offering. Notice in Numbers 15, verse 30, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, and the word there actually means with a high hand, high-handedly, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And we find that in Exodus 31:14, to be cut off amongst your people is as a synonym for to die. And so he that doeth aught presumptuously, he shall die. Presumptuous sin. Then is sin unto death. And so we find that in Scripture there are instances in the Old Testament, and not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 5, we have the instance of Ananias and Sapphira. And we read there that they lied to the Holy Ghost, and their bodies were carried out. God judged them with death right there on the spot. We read in 1 Corinthians 11 regarding the communion service, the table of the Lord. The same thing. Paul says, many of you are sick and some have died because you sinned presumptuously. You were living in wickedness and you knew it, and you came and you partook of the Lord's table anyway, as if nothing were wrong. And God slew you for it. Sin unto death. And so there are sins that place us face to face with death. And so, John says, the first thing that we need to do then is we need to evaluate the sin that has been committed. We need to determine if it is a sin unto death. And after we have evaluated the sin, then we pray accordingly. Now, John says then in verse 16, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And so we evaluate if it is a sin unto death, something that God has determined, this should be judged by death. Then John says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. John says, I do not. I am not telling you to pray for him in that situation. And the word there, not to pray, is the word we discussed just a week or two ago, erotao. Remember we had the two kinds of words? In fact, it was in our study of verses 14 and 15. If we ask. And there it's a different word. The word there, in verses 14 and 15, talk about the asking of humility, of an inferior to a superior. But this one here, in verse 16, is the asking on equal terms. And erotao means to request on equal terms. This is the word that Jesus uses when he talked to the Father. And when Jesus asked the Father, he used this word because he came on equal terms. But this word is never used of a man asking God. In fact, and Jesus never uses the other word, the of us asking of a superior. And so we find here that this word is the asking on a footing of familiarity, such a footing of familiarity that it lends authority to the request. This is the request of one who has a right to ask. And so John is saying here then, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And John is saying, I do not say that he shall request or demand rightfully for this kind of a situation. So John is saying, do not make a request in this situation. Because if you make a request in this situation, you are counseling God. God has said he shall die. And you're going to come and ask God to do something different? That means you are placing yourself on a footing with God, as if you had a right to ask this. And so that's why he uses this word here. John says, make no request. That would seem to put you on a plane of giving counsel to God. And so, if, for example, you see a brother sinning a sin which is unto death, something that is high-handed or presumptuous, something that Scripture clearly states as being a sin that God punishes with death, God then says he deserves to die. Physical death. This has nothing to do with his spiritual situation. God says he deserves to die. Now, God might kill him, but God might not. Just like God has not killed all the hypocrites since Ananias and Sapphira. They were carried out. They died on the spot. But many since then have not. God does not say he always will. But they are face to face with death. And there's the possibility that they will die. And so this brother is face to face with death. And so, I do not come to God to counsel him. On the contrary, I come to God to agree with him. And I agree, and I come to God and I say, God, I agree with whatever you want to do in this situation. He deserves death. If you want to spare him, that's your business. It's not my business to pray. And so I come and I agree with you, and I would not presume in any way to give you counsel. So that's what I say to God. Lord, whatever you want to do, that's your business. And then to the man I say, I have no freedom to pray for you, since your sin is a sin unto death. If God does not take your life, and you determine you want to get right with God and get rid of this sin, I'll show you how you can get rid of it and what you can do to get back to God. But in the meantime, I have no counsel for you, and I have no freedom to pray on your behalf. Because should I take that upon myself, I would be giving God counsel. And he warns me not to do that. Now, on the contrary, if it is a sin, John says, not unto death, if it's a sin not unto death, John says, then we have great freedom in praying for him. If you see him sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. And there we have the other word ask. There we have the asking of humility. He shall ask and he shall give him life. And then he explains why. He says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, the words there, all unrighteousness, are the very same words that are used in 1 John 1:9. You remember in 1 John 1:9, we are told if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the same words here, all unrighteousness. And so we have freedom to come because God has already promised he would cleanse all that kind of unrighteousness. And so we come and we ask, and we ask humbly. And in fact, the phrase here, John says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. It's in the future tense. And the idea is, of course. Of course he shall ask. This is his Christian duty. This is his responsibility. As well as his privilege. Of course he shall ask. He shall ask. humbly as an inferior to a superior. And then God gives the promise, and God promises, He says, He shall give him life. Now, what does it mean, He shall give him life? It is not talking about eternal life, because we are already plainly told that this man is a brother. He's a brother in the Lord. He's been born again by the Spirit of God. He's a member of the family of God. He already has eternal life. And so we aren't praying him into eternal life. He has that. That's not the problem. He has eternal life and he'll always have eternal life. It's not talking about physical life either. He doesn't say he shall ask, implying that he will give physical life, because this is a sin not unto death. And so he isn't face to face with death. And so there's no need to pray for physical life if he isn't face to face with death anyway. So that's not what it's talking about. It wasn't that kind of sin. It's talking about spiritual strength. Sin has a deadening effect upon us. We read of that sin wars against the soul. Sin deadens our spiritual faculties. And each sin then makes us weaker and weaker and more helpless. And so we have less spiritual life to fight against sin. It's kind of like quicksand that just sucks us further and further in. And so that means that as Christians, through prayer, we claim life for each other. And through prayer, we reach down and we pull up our brethren out of this quicksand that would tend to draw us in, because I sinned and that dulls my spiritual senses and that makes me less ready to face the next situation. And so that becomes a build-up of weakness. And how do I face that kind of a situation? We don't face it alone. And that's why as brethren, we help each other through prayer. Through prayer, we claim life for a brother who has sinned, that he might not be weakened and fall into another sin. And so we sustain each other in this way. This is our Christian duty, and that's why John says he shall ask. He shall ask. That's his Christian duty. This is what, right away, as soon as he looks at it, he sees it and he says, this is not a sin unto death. Lord, strengthen him. Lord, give him life. Lord, uphold him. And that means then, instead of being an accuser of the brethren, which is the natural tendency, oh, look what he did. Look how much better I am, because I never do that. Instead of being accuser of the brethren and pushing them further down in, I become a restorer of the brethren by supplying him with grace through prayer. But we need to beware of presumptuous prayer. Don't fall into the trap of presumptuous prayer and just praying without discerning, and finding then that we are giving God counsel. John says, don't do that. But what you do is you discern. And when you see it's a sin that is not unto death, by prayer you pour grace into the life of your brother. You supply him with strength. In Psalm 145, verse 14, we read, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all that be bowed down. That's God's work. This is what God delights in doing. God delights in upholding those that fall, raising up those that be bowed down. And so we also, as Christians, uphold one another in prayer and raise one another up by intercession. And when we do this, we're sharing God's work. We share God's work through prayer. Because this is what God delights in doing. And John says, this is what you shall do. This is the way you share God's work. and you uphold one another in prayer before God. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life, pour spiritual strength into his being, because this is what God delights in doing. So we pray. Father, thank you that you have told us that a bruised reed you do not break, the smoking flax you do not quench, and you delight in raising up the fallen, and you have given us the joy of sharing with you that beautiful work with one another. And as we see one another stumble and fall, you've told us that we can share that which is upon your heart by raising one another up. Help us to be wise in this, and that we might discern what we're doing and not pray presumptuously, but that on the other hand we might not be lax in failing to uphold one another. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in failing to pray for you. Thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.